Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot. Rebound. Score. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Tall Can Sports number 383 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. You can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. We are at facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. I am back, as you can probably tell, sounding a little different than the last little note tagged on to the end of episode 382. I'm in the TCA studios, and this is going to be part two of our Battle of Ontario kind of, you know, decade in review. Part one, we took a look at Rob's all decade Senators teams. Not too bad. And in this one, we're going to discuss my all decade Maple Leafs team. And as most of you know, it's been an exceptionally bright decade for the Leafs. So this should go just swimmingly. Hope you're all enjoying your holiday season. We've kind of reached that weird point, that 27th through 30th of December, where time has lost all meaning. You don't know when you went to bed or got up. You're eating anything in the house. There's no school. There's no work. Time is just kind of this loose concept you're sort of vaguely aware of. It's an interesting point in the holiday season where you're almost ready to get back to whatever real life looks like, but not quite. So hope you're all having a great time with that. Hope you also all took some time as rational adults to jump on your social media feeds and yell at teenagers about whether they did or did not take their helmets off during a national anthem. Seems to be the crisis that is sweeping the nation right now. Canada 1-1 as I sit here right now at the World Juniors. Getting ready, I can't believe I'm saying this, for a big game, huge game against the Germans, where hopefully we will all remember our national anthem etiquette. We won't have to have some sort of Canadian referendum on the subject, but that's just sort of what we do. We've also reached that point in the World Juniors, right, where we're ready to fry our own kids over it. So it's been an interesting tournament so far. The Canadians have beat the Americans beat the Russians, and the Russians beat the Canadians. So, and that's not even mentioning the Germans and the Czechs, who have put up a good fight against everybody so far. It's been an interesting pool. We'll see where things are headed. But things still very much alive for Team Canada. If they beat the Germans and the Czechs, they will still finish first in the pool. And that debacle against Russia, while a little scarring, a little hard on the ego, It won't have mattered. Maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe we can still get this team turned around. The bigger concern, of course, Alex Lafreniere. News seems to be better than expected. No one has slammed the door yet on him returning to the tournament. The injury looked pretty bad, but he's walking. So, I mean, that's something. Like I said, this has been an interesting tournament thus far to keep an eye on. So I hope you're enjoying that as well. As I said, this is the second half of... you know, we explained in episode 382, it was going to be one episode, one big long one. And we decided to just split them out a little bit and spread them out over a little bit of time. So we were giving you guys something new as we went through the holiday season. Rob and I will be back in studio together in the next couple of days to give you all new stuff, hopefully before New Year's. Lots of year in review stuff we could still take a look at. And maybe a little looking ahead. It's always good to look ahead, right? So all of that's still to come. We love interacting with you on the social media stuff. As I mentioned, we are at Tall Can Audio pretty much everywhere. And wherever you're listening to this, make sure you're subscribed. You'll get all our new episodes as they come. All the archives are at tallcanaudio.com. With no further ado, we will get to Matt's all 2010s Toronto Maple Leafs. Courage, everyone. So we'll shift it over to the other side of the table. We'll talk about this glorious decade that it's been for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't think there's any mystery on Toronto's starting goalie. Freddie Anderson already climbed the ladder into the top 10 of all-time most winningest Leaf goalies in three and a bit seasons. He's got this weird thing where he doesn't do shit in October rolling off the couch. And but he'll finish every season with about a 918 save percentage.
Like exactly 918.
Yes, every year, 918 on the nose. And you go, yeah, that's above average. We'll take that. And they have done exactly to him what almost every Leaf goalie that I've ever loved has had to go through. Curtis Joseph, Eddie Belfour. Just hung the fuck out to dry. We have good forwards.
Alan Bester.
No defense. And that's what you've got. And so, Freddie, there's some playoff games where you'd like to see some different things. There's other playoff games where he's held us in it. But far outdone by the number of regular season games where they're just mailing it in on defense. And part of it's just because the defense has been so bad. You know, there's no question he's the best goaltender that the team has had, not just this decade, but probably since pre-04 lockout.
You're not going with Optimus Reimer?
I am not, but he...
Jonathan Bernier?
Ooh, Johnny Burns. It's no good, man. I know he's got that big love for... come on, Giants of Africa. You remember the dinner? Oh, you don't know about this.
Yes, of course I do.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyways,
this may have to come out.
Yeah, you exactly. You'll have
Giants
to.
Giants of Africa. Nelson Mandela.
Who was a great singer or a great...
He said he was a great player.
Player. Like,
what are you talking about? If you don't know
Not all of Mozart's paintings were masterpieces.
Google, if you don't know the story, Jonathan Bernier, Nelson Mandela, and just be sad for a while. That we didn't, similar to Ottawa, you know, we didn't talk ahead of time about whether we would do backups or not. If we're doing it, it's James Reimer. We had Toskala. We had the monster for a little while. We had J.S. Shiger. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, J.S. Shiger.
My name is Jonas. Shiger, right at the beginning of the decade, only played 53 games in Toronto. I seem to remember it being more than that, but obviously it wasn't. Reimer kind of showed
that's
up.
Brian Elliott country right there.
Exactly. Reimer shows up in 2011, pushes the Leafs hard to almost get into the playoffs that next season, almost all on his own. The 2013 season, he was the only reason in that shortened year that they made it in or made it seven games against Boston.
I was going to say he was the only reason that they lost that game seven to Boston.
Fuck that. The only reason that game seven happened. So we're again talking about short sample size.
And a reputed sense killer.
Fun, man. Always enjoy that, obviously. But, you know, that's just sort of an indicator. Before Freddie came along in 2016-17, it was fucking bleak in goal.
Yeah, Freddie's brought a pile of stability, right?
Yeah.
And when he came in, he's another guy who was in a long line or a seemingly long line of, we're going to bring this guy in from another organization.
From California, always
yeah.
California.
In the Vesa Toskala,
Jonathan Bernier. Yeah,
yeah. You're going to bring this guy in, and I remember thinking, I'm not sure.
Well, right? And that was, for people who say we didn't get anywhere near enough for Phil, the first rounder that they got from Pittsburgh.
Who's that, Matt?
Well, we may touch on him again.
Fat, filthy, fucking Phil Kessel?
I'm glad you dropped that in the holiday season. The people love it, man. The first round pick that they got from the Pens was flipped for Freddie. And they locked him up, sight unseen, 5 years, $5.25 million. And right now you're looking at that going, yep, I'll take that.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet deal right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you taking Anderson or Anderson?
Oh, wow. I'm biased, obviously. I'm taking Freddie.
Totally fine.
Only because he also took Anaheim to at least one, and I'm struggling to remember, maybe two conference finals, but at least one before they lost to Chicago in 2015. So, but Craig Anderson in the first half of that decade, man, I just don't know, because most of the games that I saw Craig play were against us, and we had nothing. Like, what did he have to do against Joey Crabbe and these guys?
Oh, Joey Crabbe. Where are you now, Joey Crabbe? Yeah.
He's on that all-Ostrava team. It's an interesting question.
Yeah, for sure it
because
is.
Craig's also been to a conference final. And maybe, almost for sure, was more responsible for the Senators getting to their conference final than Freddie was for the Ducks getting to theirs. Like, the Ducks were a better all-around team in 2015. So, I mean,
anyways,
I'll get back to you. That's interesting.
It's just food for thought. Because at the end of this, really, you want to say which team beats which team.
Yeah. Yeah. Left defense, it's Morgan Riley. He's been here since 2013. Was drafted in 2012. And I remember them sending him to World Juniors in that 12-13 year during the lockout. And
in the UEFA year?
I don't... That's probably... Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Okay.
And Burke saying, it doesn't matter if the lockout ends, you're going. Like, that was a thing to him, right? To commit to, you won't be called back. You're not going to come to
camp.
Way
to go, Berkey. You're the anti-Lou Lamoriello.
Well, there's a bit of some of that, right? But I don't remember him actually then coming back and playing in 2013. I think he started in the 13-14 season.
Yeah. Cool.
last year, almost a point a game. This year struggling a little bit, but he's been here so long, and you look at what else is on the left side. You're looking at Jake Gardner. You're looking at Sean Michael Lyles. You're looking at Tim Gleason. You're looking at
Tim Gleason.
Yeah, just bad. Like, it's just Carl Gunnarsson.
I said that. Gunnarsson, you mean Stanley Cup winner.
I do mean.
Like all those other Leafs who left town and then just like, woo, the grass is fucking way greener over here.
It's so green, man. It's delicious. I don't think there's a ton there to...
No, I think he's a no-brainer for sure.
Man, and this is where I'm glad I let you go first because I had two approaches to this. I was very careful when I emailed you.
Dermot.
1G, 2D, 3F. I did not lock in LD, RD, LWC.
Okay, yep.
And you went first and you were honorable about it, so I will be too. Our best RD this year was Dion, or this decade was Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah. Okay. I have no problem with that.
I have major problems with that. And it's again, when you start to look at, you know, could I have moved Jake Gardner? And it still wouldn't make our defense great.
Who's got more stink on him? Phaneuf or Gardner? Leaf stink, I mean.
Well, yeah. Wow. I guess Jake, just because of the game sevens.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a minus 30 or whatever it was.
How is that possible? Minus a dash eight or whatever.
But people
it is.
Hated Dion. And I never did. Like, Dion just was what he was. And it wasn't great. And it wasn't worth the salary that he was being paid. But that wasn't him. Like, we went out and traded for that. And I didn't.
And made him captain directly.
Yes. Well, because he knew how to work the stereo in the locker room, apparently, is the reason he became captain.
Yeah.
That's our top. Beyond that, honestly, you're already having to look at guys like Jake Muzzin. And you referenced Thomas Chabot, and he's a whole other level than Jake Muzzin, but similar. Actually, Chabot has more tenure than Jake Muzzin. But when you look at right-handed defensemen, it was terrible. It's Franzen, right? It's...
If you look
awful,
though,
man.
But if you look at Dion and what the fans think of him, his teammates, I think, universally love him.
Yep.
Both in Toronto and in Ottawa.
Well, Phil, who never says anything, repeatedly came out in the media and said, "You need to chill the hell out on Dion. Like, he's our guy, he's our leader. You guys are ridiculous to him." And
yeah.
It's the only thing he ever said in the media.
And if he except I like hot dogs.
I like hot dogs. And who doesn't?
Banana hot dog. and if you look at, you know, I look at the impact he had in that 2017 run, which is the second year he was here, right?
Yep.
He came late in the season before.
Yep.
We
played here, left him behind. When we
he played that Boucher system in 2017 perfectly. He stepped up.
He was just miscast. Like, he was overpaid.
Yep.
But at that time, there was nothing wrong with that guy as a second pair, right?
So we talked about it when he was a Leaf.
Yeah.
Right, forever. I ridiculed him as a first line guy.
Right.
And that's the problem. He came in here and he got to slot in behind. Now, he was on the back end of his career, right?
Sure.
Due to his skating.
Yep.
But to me, I have no problem with Dion being on a team that hasn't won a playoff round.
Right. And that's it, right? When this is a perfect indicator as to why the Leafs have gone nowhere. When you look at that defense and they've only had a goalie since 2016. You go, yeah, not hard to see why they weren't any fucking good when you start throwing around John Michael Lyles and
right. Well, and Dion was a killer junior player.
Yep,
and 20 goal scorer in his rookie year in Calgary, I believe.
Yeah,
and then things went downhill for him. Right,
big time.
Calgary ditched him after a couple of years. Like, woof.
Yeah,
move that, and then Toronto's like, woof, move that, and then Ottawa's like, woof. Thank God LA's taking that on. Good for you. Away you go, right? And
those are the moves. You know, I have mixed feelings on Lou's tenure in Toronto with his signings, you know, of Marlowe and some of those contracts. But he cleared out a lot without asking us to hold on to half contracts. Yeah. Like, he tore it down well.
Yeah.
It was just, we shouldn't have asked him to start the rebuild part.
Well, no, but that's an art form, right? Is the teardown.
Just heartless, man. Just, yeah, well, you're out of here.
You got to be, man.
Right wing. Fat, filthy fucking Phil Kessel.
Yeah, do it. That's, I love it.
You know what? That guy showed up in Toronto at the lowest of the low, or at the time, what we believed would be the lowest of the low. Mats was gone. We were looking for a new guy. Traded the pick that would become Tyler Seguin. Traded the pick that would become Dougie Hamilton. And all of a sudden, Phil is facing a lot of adversity that maybe wasn't even created by him. He wasn't a media guy. He wasn't a great defensive guy, certainly. But, you know, you referenced earlier what guys thought about Dion. And those were the types of times where he would step up. And there's another one, Dave Festchuk. There's a great clip out there. Just type into YouTube, Phil Kessel, idiot, or something. And Festchuk's asking questions after the week before having ripped other Leaf players. He's like, are you seriously asking me that? This guy's an idiot. It's awesome, man. And he was just great on horrible teams with horrible centers. He had Matt Stage in for a while. He had Tim Connolly, what was left of him for a little while. There's your all-forgettable Leaf. Tim Connolly was a Leaf for a little while in the decade. Bozy gets in there. He's not a number one center, but he has good chemistry with Phil. And he just, year after year, 80 points on just a bad, bad Leafs team, right? And everyone always said you can't win with Phil. The point was missed that you can't win with Phil as the centerpiece. And you saw quickly when he goes to Pittsburgh and he gets to work with your centerpieces, that's a key guy.
Pittsburgh doesn't win back-to-back cups without Phil.
Right. Yeah. No, and he's a point a game in those seasons and through the play. In the first year, the 2015, I can't remember now, 2016, the first Pittsburgh Cup, there was an argument to be made that he was the Conn Smythe winner.
16 and 17.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a dark era, but he put up in a big way for Toronto.
Well, and for... You look at him, and he looks unshaven, and the unshaven part, you know, accentuates the second chin, and he's wearing the basketball shorts, like the Michigan, you know.
I'm feeling attacked over here.
The baggy shorts, and you're like, look at that guy. You're just like, are you an athlete? But he just played 82 games.
Over and over and over, and never missed a game.
And put up 70 to 80 points.
Yep.
And he could shoot the puck. He had an incredible release.
Right.
Right. And we've talked about it. And if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Fuck Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
No. That the one thing, if you're going to do one thing well.
Score goals, man.
Score goals. Yep. And it's the thing that he does that you can't teach.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I get it, man. That's a no-brainer pick.
So, similar to what I said on defense, I was waiting you out to see whether you just went best D and best D. You went position by position, so I will do the same. Auston Matthews is the center. If you've seen the case, it could be made. Both Babcock did it a little. Keefe is doing it more and more now. He loves after a penalty kill, especially to run Tavares and Matthews out together. So if you want to get shifty, well, maybe one of them is a winger. But I chose to stick to center. And it's his tenure, right? Matthews comes in his first year, 40 goals. Second year, 40 goal pace. Third year, like he's been injured a little bit, but he was the light, the flicker that finally told this fan base, maybe there's some hope again, right? Maybe we're going to turn this around a little bit. They had already drafted Nylander. They'd already drafted Marner. And Matthews, even from night one, and I know your response here is Toronto lost, but he showed that Toronto fan base there's something here to be excited about when he put up those four goals on opening night of the 16-17 season. You know, he's kind of been taking a bit of a beating in the media this year. Some of it deserved, some of it not. But I think that's the guy that you're building around. And I think when Toronto signed John Tavares, it was in the hopes that as that contract aged, Tavares would still be able to be a more than capable number two as Matthews continued to develop. And so that was where I went with my number one center.
Well, yeah, I think because Sundin was done early in the decade, yeah?
Oh, he was gone in 08, 09,
season. As a Canuck?
Yes. Okay. He did not play here this decade.
Okay, yeah. So it's really...
It's one of those two. You're talking about your Bozaks, your Grabovskis, your Kadris, your...
Yeah, nope. Yeah. To me, it's easy. It's easy. And he's a guy, and you're right, the four goals is amazing,
yeah,
right, to watch. And it's you couldn't script that.
Right.
If you did that, it would be in a Disney movie, and people would be like, fuck you.
That's stupid, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't win the game, which makes it very Leaf-like.
Yep.
Right?
That
you could have this great moment.
Yep.
And then ultimately still not get the 2 points.
And we got a point. We got one.
That's why I said you couldn't get 2 points.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's he's a talent. He's a talent. Now, whether he can get past his punk ass behavior and make the 20s,
the Arizona butt cheeks,
his right, then he'll be fantastic. But he has to learn.
Yep. Left wing, and this is now where I'm left a little bit, because this is where you would have put Matthews with Tavares in the middle. The names you look at on an all-decade Toronto team, it's Clark MacArthur. It's Joffrey Lupul.
It's Loops!
Hold me back, Loops. It's Zach Hyman. The guy that you have to go with, who arrived in Toronto in time for that 2013 playoff run, was JVR, who was a debacle in his own end, but played through some really bad years back-to-back. What did they call the 18-wheeler off a cliff years? One of those when they were tanking, he was ready to come back in like early March, and like, you should probably just take the rest of the year off so we can finish this tank here.
Yeah, let's make sure we figure this out.
Yeah, but does in his last year in Toronto, playing on a third line essentially with Bozak and Marner, put up 40 goals. He's here for a long time, and look, not great in terms of all decade team. But in terms of positionally, he was the best. That there was one year where Lupul put up, it was like 60 points in 70 games. But that's the type of
heady,
top end.
Heady stuff.
Right, because Loops was hurt all the fucking time. And in that 13 season, again, Lupul missed a bunch of time. It was pretty good against Boston in the playoffs. That's really the guys you're coming down to. MacArthur had a season and a half, very good with Grabovski and Kuhlman.
But Graybo.
This was a sad decade for Toronto, and those are the guys that you're running. And so if you're sticking hard to the positions,
you need JVR to show a little more respect to JVR. He is now the second overall leading point getter for guys born in the fine state of New Jersey.
Oh boy, who's the first?
No guesses?
Jeremy Roenick.
No.
No idea where any of these fuckers
Bobby are. Ryan.
Okay. He's only second. Bobby Ryan is, JVR never had the broken fingers that Bobby did.
and they're both soon to be eclipsed by one Johnny Hockey.
Jack Hughes.
Johnny Gaudreau was a New Jersey guy as well, so he's going to eclipse all those guys, so it doesn't matter. Sorry, fair JVR, enough. We're going to blow right by you.
But that's where, when you look at, like, if you had just gone 3 Fs.
That's a nugget. That's a nugget right there, good listener. I'm not sure where else you're getting
run
that.
Run with it. Yeah. I don't know. When you look at this Toronto team, anything before October 2016, except for Phil, you'd just go, ugh. Like, it was terrible. The goaltending was terrible. The defense was terrible. The depth was terrible. Nothing was any good. And
so who wins? Ottawa v. Toronto, all-decade team.
So hit me with your five again, quick.
Spezza, Stone, Hoffman, Carlson, Chabot, Anderson.
Versus Matthews, JVR, Kessel, Riley, Phaneuf, and Freddie. I think I like Ottawa. Which would make sense. Ottawa's had more playoff success this decade.
But it's funny, though, because, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But I think it's close. I think your team is,
yeah.
is it, when you're putting that all-decade team together.
No, it's not a laugher. It's not a...
Ottawa, at the end of this, we're all standing there with our fucking pockets out like elephant ears, right? And you're
The decade is... it's all perspective. The decade is ending...
The recency bias.
...terribly for Ottawa, and the Leafs should be on an upswing. Yes. Yep.
And so that is how you, if in this 24-hour news cycle life we live in, right, you look at it and go, man, it's been rainbows and unicorns and puppies for Toronto. And you go, but not really, right? Yep. It's you had to have those tank years. You had to get Marner at four and Matthews at one. And you had to – so it's interesting, right? And Ottawa did have a little, very modest playoff success. That Toronto has eluded Toronto for this whole decade.
Yeah. No, it's true. And if we, you know, God willing, still here in a decade and doing this again, Thomas Chabot almost certainly locked in to the next decade.
Yeah, you'd hope so, because he's locked up for the next 8 years.
Right. Whereas Toronto's guys locked up more short term, but in theory, in right now, in position to... You'd think maybe win a round or two here in the next year or two.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, because that is much more, short term in terms
of
how that looks.
Yeah, and it's just interesting as you do the rebuild versus the trying to contend right now, and things don't always turn out as they seem.
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.